Hello and welcome to another Between the Bubbles short. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about Valiant Comics. And I think most of you probably don't know who or what Valiant Comics is, but that's why we want to talk about
them. I didn't until about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's why we want to talk about them. First, we want to talk a little bit about the history of Valiant Comics, and then we're going to review basically everything that they've put out up until the point that we're recording this. By the time it comes out, I think there'll have been a fourth issue of one of their titles, but, you know, this is a relaunch of an entire comics company that happened this summer. So we want to talk a little bit about it. First off, let's talk a little bit about who Valiant was. It was founded back in 1989, you know, and Jim Shooter was actually one of the founders, you know, the guy who used to be the CEO and head editor of Marvel back in the 80s. He left Marvel to form Valiant Comics, and it was wildly successful for the first 5 years or so of its run. They had as many books in the top 10 bestsellers as Marvel and DC did. They were selling hundreds of thousands of copies a week. And it was really a very, very successful series. It had a lot of really interesting stuff. I was looking through my old comics that I just have in a long box in my closet, and I've got a bunch of old Valiants. I've got some Eternal Warrior, some Harbinger, some Magnus Robot Fighter. I've got an issue of Exo Manowar. And so these are just some of the titles that they had. You know, they're very much entrenched in 90s comics when you look at them. They're very much 90s style comics, but, you know, they were entertaining. They did really, really well. And then tragedy happened, and that tragedy is called a software company bought them.
Acclaim bought them.
Acclaim Entertainment, which you might recognize,
which makes no sense,
from lots of computer and video games back in the 90s. They were a big publisher.
Well, they still are now, I think. Oh no, Activision does the. Yeah, I think they're still around.
I have no idea.
Maybe not. I was thinking of Activision, so maybe they're not still around.
I haven't played a single one of their games in a very, very long time.
I don't think
time.
They are. No, maybe they're not still around. They're huge in the 90s. In fact, they're the ones that made Turok, which was a Valiant comic book, mm-hmm. and Shadow Man, and
yep.
I mean, when Turok came out, I was, oh man, how old was I? 13? No, maybe I was 12. I don't know. One of those ages.
Yeah.
And I loved Turok 1. I loved it. I thought it was great.
They really,
find
really
dinosaurs.
Well. Yeah.
I loved how they had blood. You know, that was new for the 64.
It was one of the first, like, bloody games.
Uh-huh. And you had the bow and arrow and these cool guns, and it was just so big. Turok 2, I really did not like at all.
Yeah.
He was not a dinosaur hunter. He was like a space weirdo netherworld hunter. That,
yeah.
It was dumb. But I never played Shadow Man.
Yeah,
but so, I didn't get good reviews. I remember that.
I mean, Acclaim bought them and basically rebooted the entire line to be, like, more friendly to their demographic. They wanted to be a little more kiddy because they're making video games. They even made a video game that was Exo Man of War with Iron Man. That was a video game back in the 90s.
Really?
Yeah, Exo Man of War and Iron Man team up. So.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah. And, you know, they succeeded really, really well until the early 2000s. And they stopped publishing comics altogether after about the turn of the century, after about 1999, 2000. And then Acclaim actually closed in 2004.
Oh, so they did close.
They're defunct. They have, yeah.
It's just too bad because in the 90s,
they were a big game company.
Forsaken 64, I don't know if you ever played that. That was a great game.
Yeah.
Like these space pirates and motorcycles just shooting each other. Loved it.
I mean, they made the Batman Forever game. They made the Batman and Robin game. So they were obviously, like, they made a Fantastic Four game. They made an Uncanny X-Men game. For the one for the original Nintendo was made by Acclaim. I mean, they made a ton of games back in the day. But, you know, eventually they fell apart. And therefore, Valiant Comics went the way of the dodo. Until in 2007. And I think this is a really interesting story about, like, doing what you want to do and making whatever dreams you have happen. These two guys, who are our age, essentially, Jason Kohari and Dinesh Shamdasani, were both huge fans of Valiant Comics when they were kids. It was their favorite comic company, way more than DC, way more than Marvel, and they wanted to bring them back. And so these two guys built up investors, they built up a company, essentially, found investors, all this kind of stuff, to buy back all these intellectual properties from the claims estate, essentially.
And they're in their late 20s?
Yeah, they're our age.
Really?
They're dudes our age.
What?
Wow. And they started this company in 2007, and they slowly but surely worked their way up. And they basically what they've done for the last 4 or 5 years is they've put out collections of all this old stuff because they bought the whole back catalog. They put out collections of Exo Manowar, Archer and Armstrong, and all these different comics. But now, this summer, they basically relaunched the entire line. They called it the Summer of Valiant. They've got 4 books that started coming out in May, I think.
Yep, Exo Manowar.
May is when Exo Manowar first dropped. And then Harbingers dropped in June, Bloodshot in July, and Archer and Armstrong just a couple of weeks ago.
And then I think in November, Shadowman.
Shadowman's coming back in November. So they're slowly but surely building this company from scratch using these old properties that they loved when they were kids. And I think that it's a really fascinating idea that these guys would try doing this, and that so
well,
far has been...
You can tell in every single issue that it's written by people who love the characters
and
the titles.
Clearly, this is written by people who have some affection for these characters. Whether you like them or not, they're definitely... they have some serious love for these characters.
Yeah.
So we also want to take a little bit of time just to talk about what we think of these comics, because I think at this point we both own all of them.
We do.
Everything
we
that's
do.
Come out so far.
The most recent one was Bloodshot,
Bloodshot 2 came out this
Harbinger
week.
Harbinger 3.
Yeah. And I guess that, Harbinger 3 did as well.
Yep.
So we picked those both up this week. I'm sure I'll pick up Exo Manowar next week, because that's my favorite one.
It comes out in 2 weeks.
It comes
out the 29th.
Oh, the 5th. Okay.
Yeah, so it comes out the 5th week. Unfortunately, yeah, we all thought, I was talking to these guys at my local comic shop, and we thought it was coming out next week, and we're all kind of disappointed that we had to wait another one. It's like, really?
So,
because the number 3 ended on a good cliffhanger.
Yeah, it really did. And it's just, let's talk about these comics for a little bit. So, I think we're going to start talking Exo Manowar, which is the oldest one. It's the one that came out in May, came out right before Free Comic Book Day, because I remember it being in the store on Free Comic Book Day and thinking, I know that title. Why do I know that title? And then remembering that I had some Valiant comics from the olden days. So what do you think about Exo Manowar?
Okay. Exo Manowar starts off with a really cool premise. I mean, and I love when you open up number one, you get a history of who are the Romans, who are the Visigoths, is that how you say them? And what's their way of dealing with wealth? You have one, the Visigoths is cows, and then you have the Romans, which is actually, obviously money, and with the different weapons that they have. And now automatically for me it's like, okay, this is cool. And it starts off in, 402 AD. So you're dealing with the Romans and the Visigoths fighting each other. There's this big, huge, epic battle, and then it was really epic as a beginning.
Yeah.
And then the ending where they get captured by the aliens is like, oh my gosh, this is...
Yeah, it was...
This is an interesting premise.
Yeah, I mean, because when you look at the cover, it's a spaceman-looking guy who's in his space suit, his armor, and you're like, whoa, okay, so it's a science fiction series. What?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are...
For a loop.
Yeah. Why are the Romans and the Visigoths fighting each other? What's going on here?
And Eric is the main character, and he's very... He kind of seems like this spoiled, arrogant brat.
He's like the prince of the Visigoths.
Yeah,
and he's just really haughty. Very much like, all of you who've seen Thor, he's like Thor pre-Thor's humbling in the movie.
Yep, and then he gets humbled.
Yeah, he's very much similar to Thor in that he definitely gets humbled during the course of these first 3 issues. But essentially,
what it reminds me of the movie Kroll. You ever seen that movie back in the 80s?
Kroll the Conqueror?
No, Kroll.
Kroll?
K-R-U-L-L. It was one of Liam Neeson's first movies.
I don't think
it's
this
weird. It reminds me a lot like this, where it's this fantasy world, and then these aliens come down and take over the planet, and they capture the princess on the wedding day of the prince.
It's terrible.
I am failing as a geek. It is.
It sounds really bad. I think I need to find it.
It's terrible, but it's one that we had it as kids growing up. I don't know why, but it is. Yeah, the special effects are bad. But yeah, Liam Neeson's in it, and it's, you know, it's one of those movies that you should definitely just watch to check out. And this is what it reminded me of, where you have these, you know, people who have inferior weapons, then aliens come down and capture them. But I, yeah, this is the series I know I'm
going
to follow.
Yeah, this is definitely going on my pull list. Eventually, like, this, there's this mystical sort of armor that the aliens kind of worship.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be, like, the armor of one of their gods. And it keeps killing their best soldiers because they put it on and it kills them. But eventually, Eric escapes. He escapes and he tries using this armor and... yeah, it bonds with him, it grows his removed hand back, and now he's like a bad A, you know, big suit guy, like Iron Man style. He has all these powers in his suit now. And yeah, issue 3 ends on a huge cliffhanger of he finally makes it back to Earth, thinking he's coming back to his wife and his family in 400 AD. Oh, except it's the year 2012, sucka.
Yeah.
And that's where it ends, with him landing and all of these Roman police officers, like the police officers in the city of Rome around him, saying, you know, put your hands up, what are you doing here? And that's where it ends.
Yeah, well, he thinks they're the Romans.
Yeah.
And I love when the kids they have, when he sees them come down, he has this, you know, big, huge gap tooth with the baseball cap. I'm like, that was a great drawing of that little, oh, gee. Like, it was, yeah.
Like,
it was funny.
It's not, you know, perfect writing. But it's definitely solid writing, and I enjoy
the artwork a lot.
And I think that the art, yeah, the art has been really solid as well. And again, all of these people who are doing this are unknown to me. I don't know any of these authors or artists or anything.
I know we follow, between the bubbles, we follow the Dwayne Szczerzinski.
Dwayne Szczerzinski sounds familiar to me for some reason.
I think he's doing something on either DC or
like,
Marvel, but
like,
I'm not
I should
sure.
know his name, but I don't remember why.
I feel like he's doing something on DC or Marvel, but I'm not... I guess we look it up and Google it, but anyway, yeah, X-Men of Wars, I will
X-Men
say that it's my favorite of the relaunch.
Is easily my favorite. It's definitely one worth picking up if you like a good sci-fi superhero book.
Yep, definitely.
And we'll talk about this once we've explained all of them, but the nice thing about each one of these books is it's a little bit of something for everyone.
Exactly. Moving on to Harbinger. Harbinger now has also 3 issues, and... this series reminds me of a modern day... I know X-Men is in the modern day, but if X-Men were to start in 2012...
that's why we know him. He's the guy... Dwayne Szczerzinski is the guy who's writing Birds of Prey right now for DC.
That's what it is.
That's why I know his name.
Yeah, I knew it. I'm like, I think it's a DC guy. Okay, so... well, and Birds of Prey hasn't been getting great reviews, but Bloodshot is pretty solid.
Yeah, and Birds of Prey has had middling to good reviews. A lot of people, like... fans of the Birds of Prey have really liked it, but new readers haven't been too into it.
Gotcha.
But man, that cover for 13 looks great.
Yeah,
I might pick it up.
Yeah, it
just
does.
For that cover. But anyway, back to Harbinger.
So Harbinger, it reminds me of if X-Men were to start in 2012, this is what it'd be like.
Yeah, because it's, you know, teenagers who have these psionic kind of abilities. You know, the main character can hear everybody's thoughts, and he has these kind of abilities.
It looks like he can create some type of energy.
Energy fields or energy and manipulation of some type. But eventually, at least from what I've read in other areas and what I've read of the old Harbinger comics, this is basically going to turn into a team book, like an X-Men style book.
It feels like. I mean, you have the man who comes in who has dealt his powers before that's trying to help him.
Mm-hmm.
And who's basically not all-knowing, but very, very powerful in what he does. And he's going around searching for kids who have these psionic powers that he can help. And there's this big, huge organization. I mean, they have global corporate organization going on that does a lot of humanitarian things, but really the purpose is to
find these kids.
To find these kids and then to give them a place in society.
And to make a war is coming, and they need to make an army.
Yep. And well, it looks like the main person, the main character, is the person that they might be fighting against.
Yeah.
Which
honestly,
is interesting.
Yeah, honestly, I like Harbinger. My biggest complaint is that on the cover, the main character is blonde, and on the inside, he's got black hair.
Yeah, I don't understand
that. Literally my biggest complaint. So if that's my biggest complaint with the book, it's not that bad of a book.
Yeah, and the name is Peter Stanchek. He's the main character. And this is... I'm still waiting to see how Archer and Armstrong comes, or, you know, how I like it, because I know I definitely want to follow 2 series of the new Valiant relaunch.
Yeah.
That's what I can afford, but I wish I could do three, because I'm actually really liking Harbinger. It's a fascinating read.
I think that I'll definitely pick up at least the first arc and see where the first arc takes me. And if I want to keep following it, I might do so. But if you like team books, you should check out Harbinger.
You definitely should, yeah. If you're an X-Men fan, even if you're a Fantastic Four or Justice League fan, I mean, it's just...
It's definitely
really
a solid
big
team book.
It very, very is. Next one, Bloodshot. Bloodshot is probably my least favorite of the relaunch, but not because it's bad quality. It's because it's just...
It's just not my style.
Not my style.
It's not the kind of book I usually buy.
Exactly. I mean, he's very... He works for the military. He's a military weapon. He has these nanobites.
Yeah, nanite robots.
Yeah, you know, very
that basically
Marcus.
Rebuild him as he gets injured.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like a Wolverine.
Yeah, with robots instead of...
Which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think it's cool that it's...
I think he's an interesting looking character. He's like basically, he's white with black hair. And by white, I mean
Sinister.
Like albino. Like he looks kind of like Mr. Sinister. He's got bright red eyes, and he's got just this big red, just square, like circle on his chest.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's again,
honestly,
it's really well written, and I'm really...
The artwork is great.
And yeah, it's maybe the best looking in terms of the art, I think. But it's definitely an acquired taste kind of book. If you like military stuff or spy stuff, if you're like a Deathstroke or Grifter or even Deadpool
reader. I would
reader.
Say Punisher, even though
Punisher
is not military.
Punisher
I
as
think
well.
This is out the Punisher
but if that's
alley.
The kind of book that you like, then Bloodshot might really be up your alley.
I think it really would be. Because the only thing that it's just not, as a genre, it's not what I'm into.
Yeah,
so,
but
he's
I
an interesting character.
I'm enjoying it.
His finding out that his family might not be real, you know, his memories.
They're definitely not real because the government has implanted dozens of different families to basically work as scenario starting points for this guy to go and do, you know, really bad stuff. And so now he's having a mental breakdown because all of these memories are coming to as one, essentially, to him. It's just... It's a really interesting book. I'm really excited to see where it goes.
Yeah.
So I think I'll be picking up Bloodshot still, because it's not my usual fare when it comes to comics, but I was entertained.
Yep. Last one, Archer and Armstrong. This was the first one that I picked up of the Valiant relaunch.
Mm-hmm.
And this... I was first kind of... hesitant reading it. I thought it was okay. And then the very end, I was like, oh my, wow.
It just got progressively better and better.
It really, really did. Because I felt like the writing was a little splotchy in the beginning. It was
stilted and a little rushed.
And which makes sense. I mean, you have to, there's a lot of background information that you're kind of delving into. But the very, very beginning, where they do the background story, who I'm guessing the character is Armstrong, I thought that was really neat.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
But when they introduced archers, where it was like, oh, there's a lot going on in a couple of pages that you have to kind of just catch up onto. But once he goes to the bar in New York City, which is actual real bar in New York City.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't know that. Yeah, in the very, very end, they talk about how it's a real bar.
That's cool.
So that's when I was like, oh, maybe it's not in the end. I don't know. No, it is. Well, no, where did I see that?
Maybe on the internet somewhere.
Yeah, maybe it was a different cover. I don't know. Maybe it was a different comic. But I remember seeing, I think, in the back where they talked about how it's a real bar. They took pictures. And, Archer is a really fun character. He's this teenager who...
He has this super self-righteousness complex.
Uh-huh.
He thinks he's on a mission from God. And
to basically
everything,
root evil out of the world.
Yeah, and everything just kind of falls apart for him.
Everything.
In the end of that issue. Everything.
His background, his identity...
And his mission from God.
Yeah.
All of it falls apart.
It deals with a lot of these organizations that have been around for, you know, thousands of years that are... There's always those conspiracy theories that they're controlling.
Yeah, you know, like Illuminati-style organizations.
Yeah. So...
But it's... I thought it was a really intriguing
Knights
book.
Of Templar, I think they mentioned in it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. And more than anything, from what I've heard... The old Archer and Armstrong eventually become kind of a jokey buddy book, like a buddy fighting book.
Yep.
This one's pretty serious, at least this first issue, but I'm hopeful that it eventually gets a little more lighthearted, because the things that Armstrong says are pretty lighthearted.
Yeah.
And
but
I think
Archer's
that
very...
as we see more of Armstrong, I think that it will become pretty fun and kind of a jokey buddy team-up book.
Yeah, this and Harbinger are the two titles I'm debating it, which ones I want to keep following.
Yeah.
Because I really like the premise of Archer and Armstrong. And as I said, like halfway through, the writing got really, really good.
Yeah.
And it got really interesting. It's like, man, Harbinger was great too.
Yeah, they're both really can't interesting. Decide. So it's worth... it's worth looking into. If you guys, hopefully as you've listened to this, you've thought, hey, that's the kind of book I read, and you'll go pick them up.
Well, this is the thing. I think every single comic book reader needs to check out every single series, because I think there will be at least one title that you will love.
Yeah, just go pick up the first issue. If anything, just to say, oh yeah, I have the entire first issues of the entire Valiant launch. Just so you can say you have that. That's cool.
Yeah, so, Brayden, if you could give the whole launch... a score.
I would give it an explore it.
Yeah.
The whole launch is worth looking at. None of it, I feel, earned an ignore it. None of it.
Yeah, I would.
I felt like it was all a good, solid good. Not great, but good. And I'm interested to see if it can become great.
See, I'm going to give an adore it. Yeah. Like I was saying, Bloodshot, I liked, but I didn't love it, but as a whole, of what they've done, I feel like every single issue, I feel like actually every series is great.
Yeah.
Not amazing, but I think like they're all great. And I think every issue, as I said, you're going to find something that you like, and there will be a series that you're going to love.
Yeah.
And I think what they've done, the relaunch has been a success. It's solid, it's strong, and yeah, I'm going to give the whole relaunch as a whole. I'm going to give it adore it. So,
yeah, I totally get where you're coming from. I think that it's a really solid start to a new comics universe. And you don't, I mean, most of the time those don't work, and they most of the time fail. I mean,
I think where this is cross-gen
comics, where is the original of this? I really wish success for the people who have put their blood, sweat, and tears into bringing Valiant Comics back, because I love the idea that these guys just wanted the comics of their childhood back, and they did whatever it took to get them back.
Yep, and I feel like you can sense that in the books. You sense the quality and the dedication in the heart.
Yeah, and the care.
Mm-hmm.
That they feel towards these characters. So
yeah,
it's worth checking out.
Definitely, definitely. So
all right, so this has been another one of our shorts. We're glad you listened to it. Let us know if you decide to pick up any of the Valiant books. Let us know in the comments section or through Twitter on our Facebook page what you think of them, which one you like, which one you felt was your favorite or your least favorite. Just let us know what you pick up and what you think about it. Between the Bubbles is a production of Almost Midnight Media. Go to betweenthebubbles.com for more information. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and this is produced under a Creative Commons license. You guys know the drill by this point.